Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the 9th episode of Tender Loving Care? With your host myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down two shows from the TLC network. The name of the network that I believe for the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. Then I found out it actually stood for the Learning Channel, and I saw the types of shows that are on that channel. My deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select two shows to cover for the next episode by spinning the Wheel of Shame, which has all 113 shows that we will be studying. Hi, Kate.
Hi. Oh, I love your speech every time.
You know what? It just gives me a little pep. It gets me in the mood. It reminds us why we're doing this. We are researchers, and it brings me a lot of joy. So that little spiel every week, it's just gets us started, just gets us revved up, you know?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I'm ready as well. Do you have a little drinky today? Oh, I see something. What do you have, Kate?
I have a local beer. I haven't tried this before, this particular kind. This is from Austin Beer Works. Shout out. Free advertising.
Yeah, free. Please send us free beer.
It's a hazy IPA called Invisible Hand.
Oh, love. You know, that's actually a good idea. We should start just plugging stuff that we want. So beer, like all of our favorite. I know. We'll make a list of all of the stuff that we love and only plug that. And then hopefully we get sponsorship. That would be great.
That's
American
how it works.
Spirits and beer.
That's our brand.
Exactly. Well, I'm having a little gin again because it's all I have in the house. It is not mixed. There is no early 2000s Red Bull. I want to make do a little PSA.
Okay.
I got excited about the sugar-free Red Bull. I thought it was bringing me mild stomach discomfort, but also I thought there was a little bit of energy there for when I record, Kate. There was an incident. I had one. I think it was like last week. I'm going to say violently ill. I was violently ill. I felt like I had no alcohol, but I had half of a sugar-free Red Bull, and I just thought my organs are shutting down. So I quickly just drank a ton of water, put the rest down the sink, and I think I need to give it a rest.
That's probably for the best.
I think I wasn't going down a good path with the sugar-free Red Bull.
I had some this past weekend at South by Southwest.
And
I felt terrible.
Yes, of course.
I Yeah, I went to the bar and I was like, I'll take a Tanqueray and tonic and sugar-free Red Bull.
Oh, and even saying it is like, yeah, it's terrible, right?
I took a sip and I just immediately felt disgusting. Like,
yeah. I mean, my body was very angry with me. It really was. So anyway, we don't have that, but I do have some gin and some soda water. Okay, so we want to get stuck in. Guys, we have our two show. We're doing two shows this week. Kate, why don't you start us off with our first one?
All right, our first show is called When Skin Goes Wrong. London-based dermatologists Emma McMullen, Dev Shah, Adil Shiraz, and Natalia Spearings, I did not practice those, and I hope I didn't butcher them.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Will provide an inside look at the dermatology clinic where they help patients with their skin concerns.
Okay. Now, listeners, you may think, oh, did the Wheel of Shame fail us? Did it fail us and repeat another show? No, it does. You're going to feel that a lot with TLC shows. Yes. But you didn't. This is When Skin Goes Wrong. We did previously, I think it was episode 1 or 2, we did
Save My Skin.
That's it. Save My Skin. Is it essentially the same show? Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But, you know, we have new people and new unnerving observations. So can I dig into this, please?
Yes,
can I start?
Ahead, please.
So first of all, when this came up last week on our Wheel of Shame, I got excited because there is anyone that's listening from England, and all of my friends and family back home better be listening. But you will be familiar in England, if you turn on like ITV, which is one of our channels, at maybe you're wasted, you're home from the pub, and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, there's always some weird American with an English voiceover, like car chase shows, right? So it's just about police chasing people that have stolen cars down motorways, and there's always one narrator that does all of these shows in England, and he talks like this. Everything is punctuated. So when I, and it's always titles like you know Britain's craziest car wrecks or something really horrific, right? And is the narrator always pronounces it the same way. So when this came up last week, I could hear the narrator just going, When Skin Goes Wrong. So I was expecting something, a lot of like zoom in, zoom out. It didn't happen. It was basically just when, it was just like Save My Skin. It was another dermatologist's office that we go into, and they just bring in people with, you know, issues obviously with their skin. So what I want to talk about is we were blessed in the sense of the Wheel of Shame. You know, I don't want to put it out there that I have any anger towards the Wheel of Shame. It already has brought us some greats, but it also really, really helps us because of the two shows this week, we had one that had a billion episodes, and this one luckily only had 3, Kate. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you were as happy as I were when you saw that.
Right. I think there are 2 previous seasons, but they just weren't available.
Perfect.
Actually. So
perfect.
Great. Great.
Yeah. So when I saw 3 episodes, I was like, wonderful. I want to begin by the names of the 3 episodes, Kate. First one, whoever is, once again, if you want to hire me to just write puns, please, please, because I would love to. Whoever has this job, you're very lucky. The first one is called People Like Puss. People like us. Second one is called Impossible. I mean, they went for puss again there to use in the pun, which, you know, was a choice. Yeah, it was a choice, but maybe they just had a hard week. Third one, Totally Obsessed.
Oh, that's good.
That was good. It was it reminds me, if anyone is listening, and Kate, I'm sure you've seen it, if you're a Portlandia fan, there is a great sketch where they work in a place where they just do bad puns for like restaurants and companies, and it every time like I was reading this, I was like, yeah, it's just like that Portlandia sketch. So anyway, there were only 3 episodes, and every time, you know, it's the same thing. So it's a dermatologist office in London, and they have the doctors that you mentioned, Kay. And it's just every week, it's just a couple of people come in and they have the same kind of thing. They meet the receptionist, who we shall talk about. They meet the receptionist, they go back, they have a consultation and zooming in of things that create great nausea in myself, and I'm sure in a lot of people watching. And then they cut it off or squeeze it out, and that's the end of it, really. Kate, I don't know if you were around food or had eaten, but if anyone wants to lose a few pounds, they're about to eat, watch this show. You will not have any hunger. It was...
They describe everything as cheesy, like cheese.
Kate, don't. There was stuff I couldn't even write down. I do fast forward most of these shows that I watch, but there was this I fast forwarded because I was feeling so ill with some of the descriptions. Which leads me to go on about the fact that, I don't know about you, Kate, but we met these doctors, right? So we've got Dr. Natalia, Dr. Dev, Dr. Emma, Dr. Adil. Yeah, I think that's that. And I am convinced that every single person that works in this office, including the receptionist, including the assistants, all have a fetish. Is it just me? Or were they getting sexually aroused? I'm going to go on a limb and say they were all sexually aroused while they were popping pus out of people's backs.
It was a big difference between, say, Dr. Pimple Popper, like, oh, yeah, it's coming out. And yeah, they were interviewing these doctors, and they were just, yeah, this one woman just shook her head and goes, I love puss.
She loves it. And she was like, Kate's going to be doing a lot of English accent work during this first section of the show. Just a little notice for everyone. And no, you're right. They were all, and I swear to God, you see them when they're picking this stuff out. They're like, I swear to God, they're licking their lips and like, oh, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So that made me then go and look up if there is a term for sexual arousal. Sexual arousal. Sounding so very English today. Sexual arousal for picking. And there is something called pickerism. I looked it up per Wikipedia, which is obviously the most reliable source. But I have heard about this before. It's a sexual interest in penetrating the skin of another person with sharp objects. So,
whoa.
It is basically everyone that works at this dermatologist.
Honestly, this office on that fancy street, by the way, Harley Street?
I think
Street?
It's Harley Street. I do okay, believe it was Harley Street as well. I mean, honestly, we're not exaggerating when we see the doctors describe this stuff, and obviously it's all TLC editing, but it's all like, oh yeah, it just gives me so much satisfaction. Do I enjoy when the pus goes everywhere? Yeah, I do. Oh, does it feel really good? I love it. You just calm down, dude. And I will just want to do a little caveat that pickerism, there is more to it. It's usually associated with extreme injuries or death. So I will move. I just, that part I cut out. So there's examples of like Albert Fish, Andre Chikatilo, the big serial killers that would do that. So, I mean, I'm not associating these professional dermatologists being serial killers. I'm just saying the first half of the explanation of what pickerism is applies to them. That's all I'm saying.
They were at a fork in the roads in their youth, and they were like, yeah, I really want to do this. How can I do this but help people?
And have and earn a fortune. But these, seriously, so the whole show is, we start off and they do the same thing every week. So you have the patient come in and they meet the receptionist. I just want to take a second to talk about the receptionist.
Please do.
His name's Russell, and there is not a scene where he doesn't have a bow tie on. And is that bow tie fetching? Oh, yes, it is. Russell starts the show every week because he greets these patients that come in, and you know he is trying to squeeze every millisecond out of the greeting that he possibly can. This is his time to shine, Kate.
He's going to put it on the reel.
Oh, God. Even though it just starts with his back. Just, and his hand coming over, just shaking the patient's hand. Yeah. But I can't. Russell was a star in the making. And you know he was at the bars the night before going, guess what, guess what, bitches? I'm in a new show tomorrow. So I've got to go home early and pick out my bow tie, which he did effortlessly. And he looked fantastic. But he's probably been at theatre school for about 4 years, you know, training for this moment. So anyway, we're always greeted with Russell just having so why are you here and what's going on? I'll take you back to the doctor. Yeah. And then we have, I'm looking at my notes here. I just have fetish written everywhere because all of them do. Oh, yeah. So we meet Dr. Natalia first. She's American, but you can tell she's got that accent where she's been in England for a long time.
She was born in the Netherlands, but I researched this.
Always she showing me up, Kate. Always showing me up the research.
I'm like,
just
pushing up my glasses. Well, actually, she lived in Boston growing up for 13 years, so basically American. But then she moved away from America again.
I see. Yeah, because I could hear.
I was wondering, why she was. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That makes sense. Not a glove to be seen. Not the initial. It's just like, because we noticed this with, I'm getting all these, Save My Skin. Yeah. The initial consultation. So someone sits down and goes, all right, love. Yeah, I've got like a massive growth, like coming out the side of my hip. And Dr. Natalia's like, okay. She's like, oh, okay.
can I touch it?
Oh, can you take your shirt off? I'd love to see what that looks like. I'd love to feel it. So, seriously, we're not exactly. You need to watch this show. These doctors, and I'm questioning by the end of it if they were even doctors, because they were sexually aroused constantly from squeezing shit out of people's bodies. So,
well, anyone can become a dermatologist, remember.
Now, let's not forget, Kate was on the path. And when I say on the path to be a dermatologist, she Googled how much they make and how long it would take to become a dermatologist. You can still do it, Kate. You know, I mean, if you're into pickerism, you could do this, love. You really
anything
could.
It's possible.
You were so close, Kate, to becoming a dermatologist. There's still time. All I'm going to say is there's still time. If you want to do this, if you're interested in pickerism, but you don't want to get sent away for manslaughter, murder, think about taking up this profession again. That's all I ask of you.
I mean, I could probably have my own practice by the time I'm 60. Work for 5 years and then retire. It'd be perfect.
That'd be perfect. Exactly. So we see someone come in, Dr. Natalia, and she says in her, you know, solo interviews, quote, I'm a bit of a picker. And they're all just like, all these doctors are like obsessed with just touching. Look, and you may say, well, that's perfect. That's why they got into dermatology. But I don't agree with, I don't think if you have some fetish where you just want to like scrape people's backs with your fingernails.
Have you ever popped people's zits for them?
Remember when, see this, we're going to repeat a lot of stuff because they're basically the same show, but when we were doing Save My Skin, I had mentioned I never had spots or zits when I was younger, right? And I'd listened to my hero, Ricky Gervais, talk about this as well. Like, he never had spots and zits when he was growing up, but he loves like picking stuff. And he goes, I wonder if it's because I never had spots or zits and that's why I like doing it. And I'm the same. Popping zits sounds just really painful, but I like picking stuff. Like, I love picking scabs. I love picking like anything like that. I'm totally into. And I like, you know, maybe scraping skin or stuff. Very satisfying.
Or like a sunburn, peeling it.
Oh, yeah. Dream. That is dream. Yeah, that's dream.
Okay. I couldn't remember if you were a picker.
Definitely now I remember. So then I'm basically a dermatologist. I could be a dermatologist.
It's all it is.
It is. But yeah, so anyway, so she goes in, she says that, and then this one guy, the first guy, the doctor, we won't go through like all of the people they meet because there's about 3 or 4 an episode, and some of them, I found out, Kate, apparently a lot of people have head cysts. Like, how are these three episodes? There was like five people that had just cysts on their head.
Yeah. And the lady with the one in her cheek.
Oh, yeah, in the cheek. But these were on people's scalps.
On their scalp.
I didn't know there were so many, like, people that had cysts in their scalp. There was a lot of that.
Yeah.
But this first guy comes in, and he said that he had something on his back. And it was all basically, it was either cysts or they were lipomas. Lipomas. Is that how you pronounce it, Kate?
Yeah, lipoma, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, this guy comes in and Dr. Natalia is like, oh, how long has this been going on? And they're like, a long time. He goes, and sometimes when I want a real good scratch, I get one of those pasta spoons, and he goes, and I put it down my shirt and I just sit there and I just scratch it all. She's like, and he's like, but don't worry, don't use it afterwards. And she's like, ah, okay, let me touch it. So then she goes in, no gloves, obviously, to inspect it all. Then she gets him on the table. Gets the anesthesia put into him, puts on gloves, you'll be happy to know, when she's injecting patients. But she starts cutting open this cyst, and she's like, oh, I swear to God, she goes, this is a good smell. And then the cyst explodes onto the floor, and parts of it land on this guy's baseball cap that he's wearing.
Yeah. And she goes, oh, and didn't she say, oh, oh, I should have worn a mask today.
Yeah.
I was like, you think? That's so sick.
Possible. How long have you been in practice that you don't even wear a mask? It exploded on the floor. Like, no shit. And TLC, of course, replayed that. They replayed that, like, twice. You see it burst it.
Shot.
It is the money shot. It is. Anyone that's listening, we should have put a warning, K, actually, beginning of this. If you're having lunch or you're listening to us on a lunch break or... having your morning coffee, I really apologize, because maybe you want to just fast forward to the next show. But you see it exploding and it's landing on the floor, and they're just all having a great time. All having a great time. And it also reminds me, this show just reminds me again how polite my people are. I mean, you wouldn't know it listening to me, but I mean, with we are very much, I'm just going to sum up the English like this. You're at a restaurant, you get served the incorrect food it wasn't what you ordered. The waitress comes back 2 minutes later and says, the food gets put down. You say to your friend, oh my God, I can't believe this arsehole couldn't even get my bloody order right. What a knob end. Waitress comes in, how is everything? Oh, it's fine, thanks so much. That's the English. We just are, we don't want to make a fuss, but we will say horrendous things usually and then be annoyed, but we get over things very quickly. I think it's, I don't know what it is. We're not going to make a fuss, but we will have a fight in a pub, but we'll be over it in a couple of, lot going on. Yeah, there's a lot going on with us. But these people are lying on these beds, getting stuff scraped out of them. And constantly it's stuff like, oh, stuff's cut. How are you doing? Fine, thanks. Are you sure you're okay? And this person is evidently in pain. They're just like, fine, thanks. Just a typical English response every time.
Everything's fine,
thanks. We go on to Dr. Dev. And I'm just going to say I'm quite attracted to him. Dr. Dev comes on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Star of the show as well. Now, I don't know if Dr. Dev got together with Russell and said, we're going to be the fucking stars of this show, Russell. Get your bow tie on.
This is you and me, man.
Yeah, this is us. We're going to get a spin-off. I'm going to get my own practice. Russell, stick with the bow ties. Dr. Dev is life and soul of the party. You would think... he's probably someone, I bet, that breezed through medical school. I'm sure he was partying and having fun, but was just like a genius and was able to just sit all of exams dead easy. He's just having a great time. Always laughing, always having fun. Very attracted to him. I'll just say that again in case you're listening, Dr. Dev. So he has this assistant. Now, Kate, I don't know if you picked up on her. Her name was Cherry. Now, it's not what you think, guys. This isn't some buxom, blonde, maybe stereotype. Cherry was, I would say, in maybe like middle-aged. And I'm convinced she's completely in love with him. And Dr. Dev is maybe in his late 30s, early 40s. She's mm-hmm. like maybe 50 something. I think she's in love with him. She's very stern, and you just see her constantly behind him. And I feel like she's one of those characters that's like, I'm here to protect him. I'll protect him, whatever Dr. Dev needs. But she's madly in love with him. I just got that vibe off Cherry.
Yeah, she was ready to dive in front of him if any of the pus was coming into his face.
Oh.
She was like...
Yes. And you know she's watching for all of these patients that come in that fall in love with Dr. Dev. No, you're not getting an appointment today. Shuts the door in their face. That's who Cherry is. She loves Dr. Dev. So basically, there's just him being, he's dead cheeky all the time, having a laugh. Someone tried to remove a cyst from their own head with a stab. With a Stanley knife, and he thought that was hilarious. I mean, I don't think any of these people are doctors. I don't know if TLC got, like, upgraded PAs. Maybe they paid for actually, like, you know, RADA-trained actors for this. But something, Kate, was going on. Dr. Dev was laughing away. He loved it. So it's basically Dr. Dev being cheeky. Tons of spliced with time delay shots of London and a ton of red buses. And then I don't know if you notice Dr. Emma, she concerned me. You familiar with Dr. Emma? I know it kind of blurred into one.
I know. I know what she looks like, but I didn't watch as much as you.
There wasn't a lot going on in the eyes. I mean, I think when we talk about Pickerism, and I told you what I think Pickerism really leads to, or what it does, suppose, what is really the definition. I think she's more on that end of the spectrum.
She's playing the long con.
She's
biding her time.
Something going on with Dr. Emma, not a facial expression. I worried about her a lot. I also loved, Kate, that throughout this they would have the patient's name, say it was like Gary, and Gary came in because he had a ton of boils, so they'd have the shot of Gary coming in and him doing his like talking headpiece,
right.
And it just says Gary, and underneath they just put boils. They just...
Name affliction.
It's exactly what it was every single time. Gary boils. So there was the woman that got rid of the cyst on her scalp with a Stanley knife. Dr. Dev loved that one.
Can we talk about Amanda?
Which one was Amanda?
Amanda was the older woman with lipstick on her teeth who was giggling the entire time. Oh. Dr. Dev was
with Dr.
digging.
Dev! Yep.
He was digging and digging this lipoma fatty stuff out of her stomach, and it just kept coming. It felt like I was watching him do it for 5 minutes, and she giggled the entire time.
She once again having a great time with Dr. Dev. Dr. Dev was laughing as well. And when Kate is saying digging stuff out of her stomach, it's not an exaggeration. This woman, she had some jazzy hair going on. I'll put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some interesting eyeshadow eyeliner combo. She was from the north of England, and she's lying back on this bed. And Dr. Dev is at her hip, like her right hip side, and she had a large lipoma, so it's like a big, round, soft kind of dome thing. And he is yanking what can only be I mean, how do you even describe what's coming out of her body, Kate? It's like birth.
Chunks of raw chicken. Sorry, I know you're veg.
Oh God, you know what? I don't know how much more you could go with.
Sorry, I won't say anymore.
Yeah, we've got to be careful because I mean,
sorry.
It's a lot. So anyway, he's digging all this stuff out of her side. She's laughing away, and it's not like she's just like, and this is so English as well. How's it going? Oh, it's fine. Yep, everything's fine, doctor. I loved how she kept saying doctor. I loved that.
Doctor.
It was really kind of old fashioned English of like, everything's fine. Cough for doctor. You know, it was very, I really liked it.
You'll have to remember that for you and Dr. Dev's role play.
Yes, absolutely. Call me Dr. Dev. So she's lying there, and yeah, they're cut slicing her hip open, pulling this stuff out. Of course, Cherry's right there. Dr. Dev says, Cherry won't let anyone be around Dr. Dev without her. So she's mm-hmm. helping away. There was also another one. That was Amanda, you're right. And Amanda had a great time. And then there was Joanne, who got rid of the cysts with a Stanley knife. But then there was Dr. Dev had another interesting woman. I had to write down these quotes. So Dr. Dev laughing away gets another. For some reason, he had a lot of middle-aged women. I don't know why. Anyway, they came. Maybe because that's Cherry won't allow the young women to come to Dr. Dev.
Yeah, she screens people. Yeah.
That's what it is. See, it all falls into place.
Yep.
So this woman comes in and she's about to go to Glastonbury, the big, big music festival in England. And she has this big cyst that's like on her forehead above her left eye that she's had for like 11 years. And they had to yank. And when I say yank, I mean yank this out of her forehead. It would not leave. And you see him literally, I was waiting for Dr. Dev to put his foot like up against the bed for leverage to just pull this shit out of her forehead, but Cherry's right by his side helping her. And these are this is the kind of stuff that she's saying to the patient. They talk constantly as well. Dr. Dev's like, sorry, I do talk all the time. And they talk constantly to this patient, and Cherry, who's supposed to be there reassuring the patient, goes, okay, blood is squishing now, my love. And then she goes, okay. And Dr. Dev's like, so who are you seeing at Glastonbury? And this woman's face is getting yanked from side to side. And she's like, ELO. So then they had a whole laugh about how Dr. Dev doesn't know who ELO is. And then she just keeps getting, how are you feeling? Okay, absolutely fine. That's what she kept saying, absolutely fine. And I'm thinking, no, you're not. No, you're not.
I'm perfect.
It's just so fine. Some of the classic Cherry lines were once again, obviously, Dr. Dev was doing something. I have a lot of Dr. Dev notes. I'm sorry, but he was interesting. But he was so just questionable with a lot of stuff with Cherry as well. Cherry's lines, they had someone that he was working on like this guy's leg. And Cherry just goes, I swear to God, asking the patient, do you feel him fiddling down there?
He's wiggling his fingers in your tummy.
And Cherry's just like, I wish it was me. Like every time, like Dr. Dev is touching any of these patients, she's just like, God, I hope I get some lipoma or cyst soon.
Squeeze me, Dr. Dev.
Touch me, Dr. Dev. So you just see a ton of people. I mean, really, I think that's kind of where my notes end. There was Dr. Emma, who I thought was going to really take Pikerism to another level. There was Cherry, Dr. Adil, who had this guy called Gary, who's real rough and tough, and he comes in. And Gary comes up to Russell with his bow tie, and Russell wanted to get a line in. Like, he knew maybe he'd get a line or two in. So he's like, oh, how many lipomas do you have? And Gary just goes, loads of them.
Loads.
And that's kind of all I have, to be honest. There was a lot of descaling of psoriasis as well, which I mean, I'm sorry if you really are getting graced out listening to this, but I have to report. You know, it's our job here. We have to report. But that's kind of all the notes I have for it, to be honest, Kate.
Same here. Same here. Well, this is the time that we give the show a rating. Every episode we, after we talk about a show, we give it a rating on the scale of 0 to 600.
Yes.
This is not arbitrary. This is based on my 600-pound life. That's where I pulled that number. It gives gives us a nice wide range so we can get really specific and scientific with our ratings. So
absolutely.
What did you rate When Skin Goes Wrong?
Okay, let's get When Skin Goes Wrong.
When Skin Goes Wrong.
Is it 3 a.m. and you're wasted from the pub, but you want to watch something to go to sleep to? When Skin Goes Wrong. I gave it, you know what? I did learn a lot. So I gave it 450 pounds of learning. I learned none of these people are probably doctors. I learn what Pickerism was. I learn that Dr. Emma is on her way to the higher spectrum of Pickerism. I learn that a lymphoma is a looks like a dome and is very spongy, and a cyst is a hard like thing on your body. And I learned that Cherry would take a bullet for Dr. Dev. I learned that Dr. Dev doesn't know who ELO are. And I learned from you just now that Dr. Natalia grew up in Boston. So there you go, £450 of learning.
Wow.
Yep. Learned a lot.
That's a good rating.
Yep. It's a high one. What about you, Kate? Okay.
I rated this a lot lower.
Go on.
I rated this £47 of learning.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I saw this. Save my skin. Well, I was like, I know what a lipoma is. I know what a blackhead is. I know what a cyst is. I know it. I was like, okay, got it.
You know what? It's probably because you actually paid attention to the first show. I skimmed that one. You did know, because remember you had already researched about your future career.
Right.
You learned a lot. So that one, I'm sure if we went back, had a higher number. So this was just like, this was first year medical school. You already knew it, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Been there, done that.
All right, so let's move on. By the way, we cannot have another. How many more shows are there going to be that's going to be set in Harley Street at a dermatologist? They can't. Please.
I mean, quite please. The trend. Yeah. I feel like these people just watched Save My Skin and they were like, well, we can do that. Let's start up our, let's get on TLC, mate.
They literally go in like, I've got an idea for a show. Oh, what is it? Well, you know, Save My Skin. Oh, yeah, it's super popular. It's really good. How about we just change the name of it and then we have a new show? Excellent. Let's do it. Okay, so we should now go on to our second show that we picked from the Wheel of Shame last week, which was I Am Jazz. So TLC describes this as, when Jazz Jennings was 2 years old, she asked her mother when a fairy was going to change her from a boy to a girl. Now 14 and 9 years removed from the beginning of her transition, Jazz is a transgendered young woman with a unique perspective and some unexpected daily experiences. Parents Greg and Jeanette, who have always supported Jazz, now worry about what's next as she enters adolescence. Sister Ari and twin brothers Griffin and Sander stand by their little sister and guide her as she begins her high school years. Now, Kate, how many seasons were there of this?
Seven seasons.
I mean, do you want to just dive in? I mean, it was a lot for me, Kate. It was a lot.
I mean, even the pilot episode had so much packed into it. I had to take a minute. So, first of all, had you heard of Jazz Jennings before you watched this?
Yes, I had. I had definitely seen probably a trailer for the show. I'd never watched the show, but I was aware that there was a TLC show called I Am Jazz, about her journey. And that was it, really. That's it. Never watched it.
Oh, okay. So when we first picked this show, I was like, I have no idea who this is. But then once I started researching her, I realized that I had heard of her.
Okay.
And she has done a lot. She's really famous. And yes, it all started with this 2020 interview with Barbara Walters when she was 7 years old in 2007. She was born in 2000. And Barbara Walters went to her house and talked to her about being transgender. And this was 2007, okay. You know, okay. It was a lot different even back then.
Sure.
And so this was a very big interview. And then she went back and interviewed her again when she was 11.
Okay.
And I mean, I clicked on that YouTube video. It had like 13 million views. So then she I mean, she's been on TV. She's been in movies. She was in the Pride Parade. She wrote a memoir.
Yep.
She's been in Clean and Clear commercials. And, yeah, you know, she's
very well known.
No Hate Campaign. There's a doll made after her. She's a voiceover artist. Like, so I didn't realize that when I was watching it, and then I went back and I was like, wait, who is this? And I found all that out. So that gives a lot more context to this show, I feel like.
Okay.
Because as I was watching it, I was like, wow, this family is really all about jazz. Like,
yeah, it is. I mean, I didn't know any of that because obviously I don't do any research, but you do. I knew that she was very, very well known. And then looking at the length of this show and how long it's gone on, I mean, the girl, as you say, she's 22 now, and it was, you meet her when she's, I don't know what age we meet her at. What is she, like 30, 14?
14, maybe, yeah. 14, 15.
And, you know, she's a fantastic example. I mean, her family, she's, the amount, I wish everybody could have a supportive family like her, but as you say, Kate, it is all about jazz, and they supported her for a very, very young age, understanding that she was female. She was assigned male at birth, but she was female, and they intervened very early, and I think that makes sense why Barbara Walters would interview her, because at that point, and probably still now, there's controversy with the testosterone blockers. You see, she was put on a lot of this seven seasons, and so many of these seasons is about the fact that you know, she has a blocker that stops the testosterone. So she essentially, they went in early and said, we're not going to allow her to go through male puberty because that would be extremely disturbing for her because she's female, and let's just stop this so we can start getting her on the path of future, you know, gender confirmation surgeries and things like that. So that, I think, probably, I don't know, was that mentioned a lot in the interviews? Did you watch the interviews, Barbara Walters?
They didn't actually talk about that too much.
Oh, okay. Okay. But I mean, I think it was, if you're going back, yeah, 2007, I mean, for such a young child, and she, as I'm sure all transgendered individuals do, know that early. And I think that they would bring a lot of light to it of these children are telling you, you know, what they need and who they are, and this is how we dealt with that. So it was, you know, for TLC to be the learning channel, I start watching this and I'm like, this is it. This is the type of stuff that you do learn from. You are finding out this girl's and her entire family's process. And then it got more, I mean, I don't know about you, seven seasons, right? And I just feel like, I know I probably am repeating myself every time you record this, but the spreading of so many episodes and so many seasons of just a lot of stuff that can be wrapped up in like five specials.
Yes.
It's just a lot, okay? It was a lot.
It was a lot of the same theme just being, I know, splashed in your face over and over.
And I don't know about you, I kind of made notes like per season. And the first season that we watched, I think it should have just been named Boys and Teenage Girls Are Bitches. Because the entire first season is about, because you're in it and you're like, oh, this is going to be very interesting. I want to know kind of about, you know, the parents' realization and how they perhaps told their family members and how, because she has like three siblings, like how that went about. And no, it's just constantly about, the first season is about Jazz finding a boyfriend and how she interacts with boys and all her teenage, it just reminds me, I went to an all girls convent school in England, so I can handle any bitch that wants to come for me, because when you go to an all girls private school, you can handle girls, but because you have to. But it just reminds me of how horrendous teenage girls are.
They were horrible.
Awful to each other. Like, Jazz wasn't nice either. She was like, there was one scene where she sat around and they're kind of introducing her with her female friends, And Jazz is saying, it's just all about boys. This every single episode in this first season is like, well, Jazz doesn't know how to talk to boys, and Jazz wants to see boys, and Jazz doesn't get attention from boys, and Jazz doesn't... Is it... All right, we kind of got it, but what else is going on? She's 14 years old. Let's talk about other stuff than that. And she sat in her bed with, like, her girlfriends, and she's going, yeah, boys don't pay me any attention. And obviously, that's an issue because she gets a lot of discrimination. But then she goes to one of the friends. I'm looking at, like, we are on video right now, and I'm looking at Kate's reaction. I think she knows what I'm going to say. She goes, yeah, I don't get any attention. I mean, even you get attention to one of her friends. Did you notice that?
I was laughing at something else.
Oh, I was like, what a goddamn bitch. She's like, yeah, even you get attention from boys. This poor girl who's just there in TLC, like, just shoves, like, a camera in her face. Horrible.
Well, and then I was laughing because the other girl goes, well, they're always downplaying her struggle, her friends. They're like, well, I don't know if it's about that. And the other girl goes, yeah, I mean, boys just want boobs and butt. Like, they don't care.
What I wanted to do after watching that is I felt I wanted to go and have a sleepover and watch The Craft and practice witchcraft. Like, the stuff that you do as a teenage girl, it kind of got me back to that. These girls were talking about, I don't remember ever saying, oh, boys love boobs and butts. And I never remember, like, I don't know. I don't remember looking at down my top and being like, am I getting boobs? I was never concerned with all of that.
Oh, I was.
Oh, really?
I was constantly wishing for big boobies.
Really?
And my friends would tease me and say I was the president of the itty bitty titty committee.
And Kate, I will find them and I will beat them all up for you. Well, I promise you.
Joke's on them, because my boobs did grow in. I just had to gain a lot of weight, so suck it.
Yeah, bitches. but I guess it was just like harking back a little bit to me thinking, yeah, as teenage girls, we're all kind of bitches. Got it. And then just the obsession with boys. Look, that was real. Our school was in a hill, right? On the top of a hill, and at the bottom of the hill was the boys' school. We would always be obsessed with going to the bus stop after school, and then the boys from the boys' school would come, and we come down our like, I remember being boy crazy. Trust me, I remember the teenage girl, but I just felt like TLC, why is this first season about her parents obsessed with, like, she's talked to boys?
This show is interesting to me because it had these very, very real, raw moments. And I'm not saying at all that this family is fake or whatever. But the show is very produced.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I feel as though... I'd be very interested to know how this family feels after all these years of filming. If they feel like... Do you remember, and I don't know if this is on the Wheel of Shame, but it must be on the Wheel of Shame, Big People, Little World. Mm-hmm. It's one of TLC's biggest. It's about a little family. There's children that are average size and that. And that went on for, like, it filmed their entire childhood. Yeah. And then one of the kids came out and was like, it was horrendous for me. My parents stole my money, or I never got money. Everything was produced. I was forced to be on film. And then there was something about a producer in inappropriate behavior. Like, it, like, ruined... This kid was like, there's so much... When we get on, that's one that has to be, like, one episode. Because there is a lot that went on with that show. And I used to watch that. And then they ended up getting divorced. You thought they had this perfect family. It was really weird. Anyway, a lot of the children have come out and said it was horrendous. And I just would love to know if this is this still going on, by the way, this show? I Am Jazz.
Yes. Well, okay. I think season 7 came out fairly recently. And they're probably filming season 8 right now, maybe.
Got it. But it'd be very interesting to see his family, because you're right, there are scenes that you just think
Go ahead. I wrote down, this is everything that happened in the pilot episode. It wasn't just, hi, this is us, this is our family. Mm-hmm. They jammed all of this in.
Okay.
You do meet the family. Yeah. And they talk about, oh, we've always accepted Jazz, which is great, right? Mm-hmm. And then her and her mom go to a lunch. Mm-hmm. And this random passerby goes, I'm not going to say it, of course, no. But he's like, hey, Jazz. And then calls her the T word.
Yep.
And you're like, who the fuck was that?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And it just, I'm sorry. It felt set up. I'm sorry.
It felt completely set up.
And then they have the grandparents over to dinner. The grandparents.
Yeah.
Our characters. But yes. And then you have this big sleepover where the girls are talking about boobs and butt. And mm-hmm. and every scene is, it feels kind of scripted. You know, she's mm-hmm. sitting there with her friends and she's like, well, I feel this way because of this. And they're like, no, da 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 da. And then they go to a doctor's appointment to discuss mm-hmm. her estrogen levels and present the idea of getting gender-affirming surgery. And then the mom has a breakdown to the dad about all the stress of it. And mm-hmm. this is one episode, all of that. So it's a lot of scenes that they set up to make you feel a type of way.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then what they go on to for the next 7 years is produce these seasons that are kind of full of nothing. Well, they're not full of nothing. That's incorrect. They are full of this substance that doesn't need to be spread over 15 episodes each season. That's what they do.
Well, it made me feel bad for her because she has to keep repeating herself about everything. And like season one, right?
So you go, so it's basically, I said it should just be, it's about her and her friendship group and her being 14 and the talking about night. Boys and just boys. And then second season we meet Noelle, which was a heartbreaking story as well. Noelle was a transgendered girl that had recently, I believe, come out. And it was a person on screen that you could feel her pain. Like I could feel this girl's pain, and she was, you know, she was on the football team, and she was this, you know, all-American guy. But she wasn't, she's a girl. And so she had to come out, and it was very hard for her, and she was meeting Jazz, who had, you know, Jazz, and she says herself, she was very lucky. She had a very, very supportive family that had put her on this testosterone blocker so young. Like I say, she never went through male puberty, so her voice didn't drop. You know, she didn't get any of those things, and Noelle did. So you see differences, and Noelle is just overcoming, you know, talking about the bullying and her It was very, very hard, but I think Noelle was a very important character to bring in, and it was really interesting meeting her. But mm-hmm. you just felt her pain. You really, really did as she spoke.
That's something the show did nicely, was
yeah.
uplift voices of those around them and people in their yeah. community. That was really yeah. nice.
We haven't really spoken to break down the family, you know, to our listeners. You have obviously Jazz. The parents are called Greg and Jeanette, and then you have the eldest daughter, Ari, who by the end of the season is getting her PhD. They're all very, very intelligent, a very intelligent family. She's getting a PhD. And then you have twins, and their names... I know it's a running theme, but I don't understand some of the names in America. And I get it, listeners in America are gonna say, well, you know what, I don't understand British dentistry, so whatever, we can go tit for tat. But I don't understand, the names of the twins are Griffin and Sander. Now it's not Xander as in Alexander, it's, I mean, if I was English I'd say it was Sander. It's S-A-N-D-E-R and Griffin.
Do they say it Sander?
They say, it's so hard, my accent, you see. I hear her calling him Sander. Sander.
That sounds British.
I can't do it.
I feel like American is Sander.
That's what they call it. Yeah, that's what they call it. But it's my accent that makes it sound like that. But it's Sander. Yeah, Sander. That's what they call it. Yeah. But it's usually like an X-A-N-D-E-R, like Alexander.
Yeah.
But anyway... So that's something. So they're twins. They're the siblings are very, very close. But in season two, you see that Sander, one of the twins, twin boy, has he was going to go to university, hopefully on a football scholarship, and he has this major injury. And he's super, super angry with his mum because the mum was with Jazz for like a photo shoot. And you can see that there's this underlying like animosity because Jazz has always been the center of everything in mm-hmm. the family.
Very true.
Yeah. And you know, they obviously are more exposed. They've had a first season out. And they play the most just horrendous voicemails from some stalker that they had, some bigot, you listen to it. And I think that unless you have not been a victim of a hate crime, knock on wood, touch wood, I'm very lucky that I haven't, you don't understand that people can be so cruel. I mean, this is a 14, 15 year old girl, and this adult male has found out their home phone number to call and to leave messages that were so obscene and disgusting to talk about Jazz in the worst ways you possibly could. And you just think, who are these? People do that.
It's so sick. You're
an adult and you think there's some parts of it that you go, you know, if a child uses the T word towards her, it's disgusting and gross, but perhaps they're ignorant and they haven't had that learning experience. But for an adult man to find their phone number and leave the type of stuff he was saying, it's gross. So you see that a couple of times. She has this stalker, which is super scary and disgusting, and you just can't believe that people do it. It's
she deals with a lot. Yeah,
she really, really does. So what else goes on in these seasons, Kate?
Breast surgery, breast implant, does that happen?
She didn't get top surgery,
or she didn't end
she
up
got
getting
bottom surgery,
right? Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, third season, I just had written down dates again. It was about her going on dates, hate calls, and she had a lot of that. I mean, there's a lot, obviously, of huge substance and huge worth in this, mm-hmm. but the repetition was a lot. And at the beginning, this is what I don't understand as well. At the beginning of these shows, they show everything that's going to happen, like coming or in this episode, and they show everything that's going to happen
yeah.
in the episode. So you're just kind of like, okay.
I noticed that too. I'd be like, I feel like I already watched this. I'm
yeah,
like,
so it's
oh,
great
already
for us.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason TLC does this is for people like Kate and I who have a podcast reviewing TLC shows to just skim. But I mean, what else do you kind of want to pick up? I mean, you do see her go through bottom surgery, which was very, very interesting. And it was talking, you know, so much. There's a lot of dichotomy with Jazz as well, and they do go into this. You know, she's very eloquent. She's a very, very intelligent woman. She gets accepted to Harvard for university.
Valedictorian and, of her
yeah,
class.
Just very, very smart woman. And she, you know, speaks to her parents so eloquently and confidently about very, very personal things. And she does to mm-hmm. a lot of people. So you look at her and you think, geez, the confidence this girl has is wonderful. And you feel that's because, you know, she had such a supportive family and all of this. But she suffers from deep, deep depression as well. Mm-hmm. And that kind of comes in the, I guess, fourth, fifth. I stopped making notes, to be honest. But about yeah, those kind of seasons, she graduates high school. So you see her on this whole path, and you start when she's the whole season starts when she's going into high school. She finishes high school, she's accepted to Harvard, and she just completely has a breakdown, essentially. She can't really cope with maybe it's the pressure, there's a lot of things going on. And it's you think, oh, okay, there's so much stuff going on underneath, and then the weight gain happens,
right? So that's the start of season seven, the latest season. So this is, I watched more of season seven than the middle seasons, to be honest. Yeah, I was like, I want to see where she's at now.
Exactly, exactly.
So it's, we start off the season and the first episode is called My 234 Pound Life. And the producers are talking to Jazz and they're like, so what happened since the last time we saw you? And you see Jazz and she's much heavier. Mm-hmm. And she talks about the depression and how she wasn't feeling well mentally. And so she didn't go to Harvard yet. She took a break to work on her mental health. And she said that last season she wasn't really eating because she was so anxious. And then in the time since they last filmed, she has turned to food as a comfort. And now it's become an addiction and she gained 100 pounds. And her weight is pretty much the main theme of this entire season.
It is. It is. Which I think they handle well, because what they start exploring is this, the grandparents, which we haven't spoken a lot about, but they're an interesting, it's the mother's parents and her maternal grandfather was a doctor. They're retired. And the real New Yorkers moved. She's based in Florida and they come down to Florida. But you discover that the grandmother, who is about 80 or 81 in this, who dresses, loves off the shoulder. She loves her bell bottoms. Like, she dresses.
She is snazzy. Yeah.
Snazzy. She starts telling this story to Jazz because Jazz is miserable. She says, I'm trapped in my body. I mean, she's a short girl as well. I think she's only like 5'2" or 5'3". And, you know, she was about 235 pounds. And she says, I just feel trapped in my body. Do you have any weight issues? She's asking her grandmother, and her grandmother's tiny. And she said, I did. She said, I was constantly told I was a fat pig by my mother, and I was put on uppers. They were diet pills then, which were, it was basically speed back then. Right. So she was put on like speed for a really, really long time. And she goes, I didn't realize I was a drug addict. So you get this massive revelation, and then you find out her mother also says, I weigh myself every single time I use the bathroom. So you have all these underlying issues of these women with weight issues. And that was very interesting.
I liked this bit too, seeing the generations connect with each other on these issues.
Yeah.
Because with this with her grandparents, she clearly looks up to them so much. All the kids do. And they're a huge part of their grandkids' lives. I mean, they're always around.
Yeah.
And they're also really accepting. And I remember in one of the interviews, the grandparents are saying, we do not comment on her weight gain. We don't want her to feel alienated or judged. But then Grandpa
let's slow it down a little.
They go on a boat ride right before she's going off to Harvard, and they're kind of chit-chatting, and she's saying how excited she is to go and, you know, change her life up and everything. And the grandpa's like, all right, well, what about the weight? You gotta lose the weight. And she's like, yeah, I'm really hopeful I will. And he's like, are you going to do it though? You say you are. And her whole family is really on her about this. Her siblings do this plan. One of them is in charge of her nutrition and one of them's in charge of her exercise, because they're all home because of the pandemic and everything.
Right.
And they're on her about too much butter on her toast or whatever. It's it's a lot. I was, by the end of it, I was like, I would be dying to get out of that house and go to Harvard. Know.
And that was the last kind of scene that we saw, as she goes off to Harvard. I've no idea. Kate, you are the journalist in the group here. I mean, do you know, I mean, where is she now? I haven't looked at her social media or anything. Is she in Harvard and she's, did she lose weight? Because I remember seeing her, she was on like People magazine or something. I remember seeing that online, that she was doing like, I've got fat and I need to lose the weight.
And that scene with the brothers taking her before photo, that was weird.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh.
His brothers were interesting.
They were. So the one brother, yeah. He's really big on TikTok, I guess, and he
follow us on TikTok at
Tender Loving Care Pod.
Tender Loving Care Pod. Just a little add there.
And he is always, people are always asking if he's gay, and he's big really advocate. He's a really enthusiastic ally, which is so nice. And
yeah absolutely.
But yeah, I didn't really know. I presume then this was filmed last year, 2021, as she was going to university, so she's probably been there since last autumn, I guess, when she would start university. Yeah, I think that's what it is. But I don't know if she lost the weight, but I know she was like on the cover of People or something, just in a sports bra, being, you know, showing how much weight she'd gained and that she wanted to lose weight.
She's still working on it. I'm on her Instagram now. She has over a million followers. It's her and her family. I mean, her and her family are so close.
They really are. They really are. It was just... did you notice as well, the father was very involved the first couple of seasons. By the last season, I don't think I even heard him speak. Did you notice that?
Like, yeah, he was on the sidelines.
Yeah, really on the sidelines. And once again, as you know, I always want to know how these TLC people end up with these big houses. I mean, it is Florida, but what did he do? Do you know?
No, I don't.
No. Because he seemed to always be at home. And I'm like, okay, they're not just filming on the weekends, but I don't know.
Yeah, she's still at Harvard. She's still at Harvard.
Oh, she is?
She's okay. Playing club sports, lacrosse. Great.
So she's at Harvard. Okay, cool. I mean, I don't really know. It was something that I expected I would have a lot more notes on. And I just don't really. I definitely learned a lot, and I liked a lot of the side characters that were coming in. I do feel like towards the end, TLC was just like, let's shine a light on other people that are in Jazz's position, which is great, but then just stop the show. Like, just stop, you know, they were really, really just...
I think they should end it too. I'm glad it exists, and her family are so great, and everything like that, but she has been in the spotlight since she was a small child. I think they should not be pushing her to be so public, and she should just go off and be a young adult and do her thing and make mistakes, and you know, because her parents are kind of helicopter parents. I mean,
they... Oh my God, remember the boyfriend? What happened with that boyfriend that came in that I didn't trust, that was a weird guy that was like, I don't kiss? What was his name? Amir? Was it Amir?
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like it was Amir. There was this really weird season where she has this boyfriend that she met. She just had bottom surgery. And she was in Pennsylvania. She was in Philadelphia. No, she was in New York. And he was in Philadelphia. And there's something underlying. And Kate, with your research skills, I hope that you've got to find this out. Because she said... she announced to her family, I have a boyfriend. And they're like, okay, who is this? She goes, well, he originally messaged my brother. And they were like, okay, well, how did he find out about you? And it was like, I think there was something TLC was hiding. Because they kept going around this issue of like this random guy in Philadelphia who was 19, who didn't have a job, wasn't at university, and claimed he, quote, wanted to be the president. And said, but I don't need any education for that. I can just tell them how to rule the world. It was embarrassing. This guy was 19 years old. He apparently claims he was shown a video of Jazz on YouTube, had no idea who she was. And he then, first of all, messaged her brother. And he never responded. So then he emailed her. And Jazz was literally just had bottom surgery, responds to him. And they meet up. And she's still like in a wheelchair from surgery. And she's like, I have a boyfriend. And then he comes up, visits them. And there's something really dodgy about him. And then he kind of disappeared.
Amir, and I don't know whatever. Amir Stewart?
I don't know. I know his name was Amir. And his mother was very transphobic. I know that. And there was a phone conversation that Jazz was like, I just need to talk to your mother. I just need to talk to your mother. And she comes on the phone and she's definitely transphobic. And she goes, but you need to know about him too. And it was like hinting that he was, there was something about him. I don't know. I guess I didn't pay enough attention. I didn't do any research afterwards. But then he vanished. But she was like, this is the love of my life. Like, I mean, he's amazing. And she goes, I don't know how to kiss. Am I kissing okay? And he goes, I don't like to kiss with tongues. A 19-year-old boy.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was, there was something really sus about it all. But as usual, I couldn't be bothered to find out what it was. I just went on to the next episode.
There's an article on heavy.com. Jazz okay. Jennings' friends are concerned about boyfriend Amir.
Yeah. Huh. And he's like 19, jobless, not in university, and he's just has these really awkward interactions with the friends. He's like, I want to be president. And Jazz is like, oh my God, he's so ambitious. And they're like, well, you need to probably get more than a high school diploma if you want to be president. He's like, no, I don't. He's like, I can just, you know, I have these ideas in my, like, it was like talking to a child. It was really weird. He gave me bad, bad vibes. And also, this is how you know he's not a good person. They went to New York and he's like, New York's horrible. Like, there's just dirty pigeons everywhere. I don't like New York. Okay. If you didn't like New York, I don't like you. Let's just say that. No one can dislike New York. It's one of the greatest cities in the entire world. So shut up.
The side character that I really loved, though, was in the
cat. The pool toys? What? Who?
Noah. I liked Noah.
Noah.
So in the last season, she gets this internship working at her her plastic surgeon's yes. practice.
The Irish woman, yeah.
Yes. And the surgeon likes having her there because she can speak from a personal perspective mm-hmm. to the patients. And she meets this trans guy, and her whole family kind of takes him in because...
Oh, the blonde guy.
Yeah, the blonde guy.
Top surgery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he was really good looking.
And he gets engaged to the plastic yes. surgeon's sister.
That's the connect. Okay, got it. Yeah, I liked him. He was cute. Yeah.
They have an engagement party for them, and they get yes. his mom to come. And yes. that's when I almost cried. That was really touching.
That was touching, yeah. It was very nice because Noah had been through a lot and didn't have the sibling support and didn't have a lot of support. And, oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice. That was the last season. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know yeah. anything. It was just, it fell flat. It was like a deflated balloon. I thought there was gonna be, like, a lot more to talk about and for us to dive into. But I just felt like you tried. I felt like that's how it is with I Am Jazz. It's like, TLC, you tried. Mm-hmm. There were things that you were good at, but the majority of it was just fluff. There was a lot of fluff. Like, this should have been two seasons or two specials or three seasons, but with, like, intense go... Like, I never even heard about her story as a youth, really. They touch on it, but they never go into depth about telling the parents or telling the rest of the family. How did the siblings react? We never knew about any of that.
They really just grazed over that. They yeah. didn't talk about her fame as a child.
No,
in the
nothing.
First episode. I would have thought they would have brought all that stuff up, but... Oh, my God. But what? Remember that crazy part where she goes on some show... Tommy Lauren's show, and she has to debate her.
Don't. That woman is
vile.
She makes my skin crawl. She is so nasty. She's just a nasty, mean, terrible person. She's just a terrible person.
I mean, that really speaks to Jazz's ability to hold her own and
for
speak
sure.
well, and she debates with Tommy Lauren. It's wild. So yeah, that was that show. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you're kind of the same as me. I mean, what did you give it for Pounds of Learning, Kate?
I gave it 380. So,
yeah. You gave it 380. What did I give? I mean, I was kind of generous, to be honest, looking at it now. Yeah. I gave it 435. But I mean, it's just, it was, I just feel like there was too much of too little. Let's say that. There was too much of too little. And I don't really want to talk about it anymore, do you?
No.
Okay, good. So let's move swiftly on.
Let's spin that wheel.
All right, I think we're at the time, guys, to go to our Wheel of Shame. So, Kate, you know, I just want to take a second here. Let's manifest a little bit. Take a second. What would you like to see, Kate? Because we've had, you know, we've had a skin one that was kind of like we've had before. Jazz, there was a ton of episodes. Ideally, what would you like the Wheel of Shame to give us tonight?
I want a hoarder or someone that has a lot of mental...
mental illness.
Mental illness.
You want a lot of mental illness in the next show.
Yes.
Tick.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
I would like mental illness, but in the form of Darcy. Like, okay. I wouldn't mind a little bit of lightness. I would like a 90-day or a... there's so many of those 90-day stuff. Like a... or maybe a one-off special. I wouldn't mind a one-off special about some... I'm going to go back to 80-pound groin. But you know what? I'm also... on the first season, I told you, on the first episode, I need Alaskan women looking for love. Oh. That's my show. Like, when we get to that, Kate, I'm so excited. Alaskan
Will
women looking
for love. Will that be a whole episode, do you think, or no?
I don't even know how many episodes there are of it, so I don't know if there's enough to, like, fill a whole episode. But let's just get to it. Let's go to the Wheel of Shame. Okay, so Wheel of Shame... we'll say a little prayer to the gods of the Wheel of Shame. Give us something. Come on. And I have added £1,000 best friends as well. That's that new show.
Good.
So, all right. You ready to spin?
Spin it, baby.
All right. It's spinning. Come on. Give us something good, Wheel of Shame. Give us something light. I need something light, bright, frivolous, and not gross either.
Not about pus.
Oh, my God.
Is it Darcy?
The man with the 80-pound coin.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
When I tell you all that I am a bruja, I am a white witch, it is true. It is. I'm going to even take a photo of this on my phone right now to show you that the Wheel of Shame has just given us the man with the 80-pound groin. Kate, what was I saying to you before we even started filming or recording tonight? That shit.
You said this.
Now, the only thing I'm a bit nervous about, can you quickly go and check it's on there, Kate? Check we can watch it, please.
Okay.
Oh my God, Kate, we have it. I have been saying for like 3 weeks, the man with the 80-pound groin. I just, you know.
Oh my God. Okay, sorry, photos came up. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude. Okay.
I've waited.
Wow.
And I think it's a one-off as well, so we don't need to sit through a ton of shit. But I just want to make sure we're able to watch it because my devastation, I can't go through that, Kate.
It has to be on Discovery Plus.
Let's have a look. It's Man. What's the full title? Is it Man?
The Man with the 80-pound groin.
Is it on there?
TV Guide. Come on.
The man, let me see here, because guys, come on, please be on here.
I think it's on Apple TV.
I'll pay for it. I'm paying for this. I mean, I need to watch Katie. It's not on where we watch all of our shit.
Wait, I think it might be on Hulu.
On really?
That's what the internet's telling me.
Okay, Kate. Oh fuck! I can't look. We're gonna find it. We can't like spin again.
We'll go to the dark web if we have to.
We'll go to the dark web. We'll get some meth and weapons, and we'll purchase the man with the 80-pound groin. Do I spin again for our next show, or are we like? Can we find this, Kate? I mean, maybe it's on YouTube. I bet it's like on YouTube, right?
It's on. It's either on Hulu or I think we can find it.
Okay. All right. So guys, that's it. You have your first, and it's a one-off as well. The one that I've been waiting for, and Kate has as well. The man with the 80-pound groin. And you know, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think I've already watched it. I think it is actually, I'm not kidding. It's a guy that, I think I've seen it. It's really early 2000s as well. So we've got a lot to talk about with that. I think it's an early 2000s. I think I know what it's like. But look, let's move on. I'm going to remove it from the Wheel of Shame because we're going to watch it, right, Kate?
Yes.
Man with an 80-pound groin. So let's go on to our next one. Can you imagine if this is Alaskan women looking for... Then there's spooky stuff going on. All right, I'm going to spin the wheel. You ready?
Spin it.
Spin it. All right. Yeah, can you... That would be
I will.
That would be nuts. All right, we have... Okay, this is interesting. I'm glad this is kind of a good one. Breaking Amish.
Ooh, okay.
Now, I've actually watched quite a lot of this. This is, I think if it's the one I'm thinking about where they have a lot of them. We actually referenced this in our last episode because there's remember when we read that article in our last episode about stuff that's all fake?
Yeah.
This is... Yeah. Now, there's a lot of seasons of this, but it's actually... Because I'm obsessed with the Amish. And your home state, I have seen them in your home state in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm obsessed with their lifestyle and learning more about them. And so I watched this show, and then we found out what was going on behind the scenes. So if it's the same show, which I think it is, Breaking Amish, I think it is.
Yeah.
Then we have a lot to talk about on this. But it's we need to start watching it tonight because I think there's a ton of episodes.
Oh my god.
So guys, we have two shows. I think the Wheel of Shame did us very well. I think it served us so well. We got Man with the 80-pound groin and Breaking Amish. Now Breaking Amish is a big one for TLC as well.
It is. It's a nice contrast between types of people.
What are we gonna... I mean, your shock and horror when you googled.
It's something to behold.
And you know what? I think I've already seen it. So I'm happy to look at it again. And I do believe... I just remember him being in an apartment in his jeans. And I do think I've watched this with my friend Katie in England. Shout out Katie K. And we were just like, take off your jeans. Like, we want to see it. We want to see it. And they like tease you for ages. Like before. Okay. Well, that may have been something else we were watching. I don't know. But... Okay, we have our two shows for next week then. So we have Breaking Amish with Man with the 80-pound groin, and we are dedicated. We're going to find that somewhere, Kate. Whatever we have to do. If we have to go to the, like you say, the dark web, we will find Man with the 80-pound groin. Yes, it's time to what, Kate? To
pluggy plug plug.
Pluggity plug plug plug. We have social media. Please go and follow us. Sounds quite desperate. Please go and follow us. If you'd like, we are on Instagram and TikTok at Tender Loving Care Pod. And we're also on Twitter at TLC Poddy. Agents in the field, we need you. As Kate and I have made a call to action before, we want to hear from anyone that has worked on a TLC show, that has been on a TLC show, that has behind the scenes info, anything to do with TLC show. We want to hear from you. We want an agent in the field. Send us your information. We will love to retell it on the podcast, all anonymously, of course. Please email us at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. Kate, what would you like to plug this week?
I would like to plug my other podcast where I also talk about TV. It's called Mostly Bravo. If you like Bravo shows, Housewives primarily, my friend Bryce and I like to recap some of the shows that are on each week. And so go check that out anywhere you get podcasts. And we are also on Instagram and TikTok at Mostly Bravo.
Perfect. And my pluggity plug 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 is my Instagram. If you go to A Brit in the Sun, B-R-I-T in the Sun, you'll see a ton of merch that I have created, all based on my love for the glorious, unyielding, powerful, stunning stars of The Real Housewives, multiple franchises. So go there, check it out, A Brit in the Sun on Instagram. I think that wraps everything up. Thank you so much for listening. You're awesome. You're wonderful. Kate and I have a lot of research to do. We're going to track down this man with the 80-pound... God, I hope he's not dead. I hope he's not dead. If it is, we're going to dedicate next week's episode to the man with the 80-pound groin. 100%. Let's just say that now.
I have to go pop some pus, so I'm going to go.
Oh, that's true. And I need to look into finding out Dr. Dev's address. Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.